by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are you doing? Oh, I guess we don't have Bob on the line. Hopefully we'll have him here very soon. But I think he's already connected with us. I think he's talking to our producer. So I hope she's going to pass him over here. There we are. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I got a couple of questions for you. Of course, we heard President Obama saying over the weekend, we're just trying to get the banks lending. We're just trying to get the banks lending. But so much of what's going on seems to me that it's just the opposite. Certainly, the idea that the Federal Reserve Board would be paying the banks interest on the reserves first time in history so they could soak up an awful lot of the reserves. But then there are two other things in the offing which I think will let us know exactly what they intend. One of them is the idea that they're going to actually require the banks to change their means of evaluating of their assets and, of course, mark them to market rather than on what they paid for them, which would mean that many of our banks would become insolvent. The other is the fact that the FDIC is planning on, or was planning on, assessing the banks a massive amount of money so FDIC could replenish its treasury. But that, of course, would make a lot of our banks insolvent, or they would certainly not have any money to lend out. What's the status of those two issues?
Well, I think the latter is history. And the reason why is the FDIC has asked for $500 billion from the government.
All right. Are they going to get it from the government rather than the banks then?
Yeah. That's the intention, and I'm sure that's the way it will happen.
Okay.
And the hue and cry regarding that came from the small and medium-sized banks that said, hey, you know, we get great books. We got a great balance sheet. Sure, we got problems, but nothing like with the big banks. And we're just not going to stand by and watch these big banks act like gambling casinos, and we have to pay for it. That's not right. And so I guess they had enough complainants that they said, okay, we'll go to the government and get it. And so that's what will happen to that. And the money that you're talking about, in part, that stands on the bank's balance sheets but is sitting over at the Fed making interest, that money, of course, does exist. But a good part of that money that was given as loans to these banks went out in dividends and in salaries and bonuses to the employees, all of whom are illuminous. And this whole effort really is nothing more nor less, and I know that there's this feint to the side, meaning they're going to throw a bone here and there to mortgage holders, and they're going to try to keep it from getting any worse than it is. But the real emphasis is to pour trillions of dollars into the banks so when the bottom falls out, the big banks will survive.
Well, of course, the big banks will survive as long as we keep giving them money, but I don't think they're as bad off as they let us be. I believe the big banks are intentionally not lending the money because they want this crisis. But hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapman, and he's with the International Forecaster, and he's with us every Monday afternoon as we talk about what's going on here in the United States financially, and we find out a couple of 100,000 homes were foreclosed on just this last month. I said a couple of million homes were foreclosed on, at least my understanding, last year. Well over 650,000 people lost their jobs last month. Things are really going from bad to worse. Of course, the president claims they're doing everything they can to remedy the situation, but I really fear that certainly the big banks are not going to start lending because they want to precipitate this crisis. So these banks have literally trillions of dollars. They have the ability to, by the reserve principle, to lend 10 to 1, many times much more than that. Bob, how much can a regular bank, increase their lending? Can they go 10 to 1? Which banks can go 40 to 1?
Well, 40 to 1 is what Bank of America is right now.
They've really
been that way for some time.
They can lend $40 for every dollar that they have in deposit.
Right.
Well, then,
so all the others have got to be in the same general category.
Well, then why in heaven's name is there a shortage of money to lend?
There isn't. They're holding it back.
And
they're making it more difficult to borrow as well.
Right, and of course they're raising the interest rates as a lot of times. Even the major corporations borrowing $300 or $400 or $500 million are going to have to be putting out, 10-15% interest. And you can't do that and make a profit. So they're really destroying a lot of the industries by either not lending or by, lending at exorbitant rates. Would that be a fair appraisal?
It's a fair appraisal.
The
new program that has been brought on for $1 trillion by the Treasury Department is nothing more than a rehash of the program that was a failure 6 months ago under Paulson. And so this is not going to go anywhere. They're just buying time until they've hit the right spot to pull the plug.
And they're talking
about it could be 2 months from now. It could be 3.25 years from now. I don't know, and neither does anybody else. And I don't think they knew either. They got to wait for the right spot. And I would think an extension of the war would happen. I got a new subscriber today who is going over to Afghanistan. And I told him you could
hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was just saying that he has a new subscriber who's going over to Afghanistan. And what were you going to say?
I said I'll take your subscription as long as you transfer the publication, by email to as many people as you know over there to read it.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important to get our people in the military to understand this scam, this charade. Why are we fighting in Afghanistan? Well, the president said we're fighting there because we want to protect the people in the United States, and we can't allow Al-Qaeda to be plotting against us. Al-Qaeda weren't plotting against us before we went over there and attacked them. If you've ever read the complete report of the September 11th committee, the staff report said that none of the Al-Qaeda leaders other than Osama bin Laden, whose family is very close to the Bush family, none of the Al-Qaeda leaders wanted to attack the United States. And the only reason, of course, they would even consider it is because we have attacked them and we've killed their people and we've killed so many innocent people over there. And, of course, why are we fighting in Afghanistan when Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden are over there in Pakistan, supposedly? Nobody can really explain why we're fighting there other than we want to fight a war. And that is the tragedy of all this. In fact, the The people in Al-Qaeda in 40 nations, are we going to attack 40 nations? All we do by attacking is get more and more Muslim people recruited into this radical form of Islam. This was latent until the CIA began funding this whole thing during the Afghan war. And it's about time the American people do understand that one of the major benefits of the Afghan war is to recruit more people into Al-Qaeda, and not, of course, to discourage it. So, anyway, Bob, certainly one question, though, you didn't answer was, what about this appraisal? We kind of require the banks to state their assets not at mark to market, in other words, not what they're worth now, but at what they're worth now rather than what they paid for them, and this would make a lot of our banks insolvent. Is that going to go through or not? Because it's within the next couple of weeks, what they're
going
to have to.
Is the rule going to be executed? And I do not think it will be. At the last minute, they'll say, no, we can't do that.
Well, I mean, it would destroy a lot of our smaller banks.
Well, I don't know about the smaller banks. They don't have problems. Some of them do, but not many. Nor the medium-sized banks. It's the big banks that got the problems. They're the ones that did all that crazy lending.
All right, fine. Well, it would really just be disastrous for our banking systems. So I think we would know really whether they really want to destroy the banking system by whether or not that they go ahead with that requirement for mark-to-market assessment of securities. I think this is a very important thing to issue. I don't think most people even understand what they're talking about. Could you explain it to our listeners, Bob? Because I think it's a very important thing that they would even consider this at this time, you know, in the economic cycle and when we're having a severe recession, suddenly changing the accounting rules for our banks and financial institutions. Could you explain why this is such a disastrous policy?
Well, first of all, the policy is to take each security, each thing that they own, and attach a value to it. It's mostly securities. You have a bond, you paid $1,000 for it, you bought it in an underwriting, and let's say that it was rated AAA, and what's happened now is that that particular kind of bond, a CDO, a collateralized debt obligation, which has within it residential mortgages, and a lot of them have fallen out, and a lot of them have gone into foreclosure, etc. So, you know, we don't know, what the real value is. So the SEC has allowed, up until now, and the FASB has allowed up until now, them to put a reasonable value. And, of course, a reasonable value is, very, very subjective. So perhaps they're putting an $800 value in the bond, maybe $750, because they're not trading, and the owners of the bond think that that's what they're worth. Now, if you turn back to when Merrill Lynch sold a bunch of this stuff, they get 22 cents in the dollar. Another group sold stuff, they get 9 cents in the dollar. So if you're going to hold them on the books and you have to mark them to the market, you don't have very much left. So that's why I don't think that they are going to execute and make people mark to the market, at least not at this time.
And see, the thing is that they would even suggest that this they were going to enforce this new policy would be suicidal as far as the banks are concerned. In other words, it would wipe out a lot of the major banking institutions. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. There's been quite an uproar over this, and let's hope this doesn't happen, because that would really tank the banking industry at this time. Well, tell us from your point of view, what's going on, Bob? I've been asking you questions. I want you to tell me the things that you are covering and the things that you think are important that have happened here this last week or two.
Well, I think the amount of money that has been requested to be used by Treasury at $1 trillion is nowhere near what they need. Just for starters, I'm thinking in terms of $5 trillion. And it all depends on what happens. It could be as high as $20 trillion. I mean, the figures are astronomical, and what they're saying is that the American public has to pay for all of the mistakes that were made by banking and Wall Street and insurance companies, and goodness knows how many other entities will be bailed out.
Well, I don't know why we have to bail out European banks, because a lot of the AIG money was going to European banks. And why should we have to bail out, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase? They claim that they've got lots of money. They don't have a problem. And it wouldn't have bothered them if AIG had gone bankrupt. Why don't we just let AIG go bankrupt and get rid of all of this, but stop taking the money from the American taxpayer and giving it to Wall Street? That just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, but, they're all in on it together. They're all CFR, et cetera. And so that's why they don't fail. That's why the American taxpayer has to pay for all this.
But, of course, since there's no money, the taxpayer doesn't have that sort of money. The only way, of course, to get this sort of money is simply to inflate destroy the value of our currency, to inflate our currency and destroy its value and rob, the people of any security, of anything they've ever invested in. All of this is highly inflationary. In fact, it was just this last week when they announced that they were going to go ahead, I think it was the Fed announced that they were going to begin monetizing the debts. They were going to raise $1 trillion, I think $300 billion, part of that was to buy up toxic debt, the other was to buy up house mortgages, but they were going to start monetizing our debt. That date, while the stock market crashed, gold was up almost, $30 or $40 last week as a result of that statement. That is the most frightening thing. I don't think most people understand the implications of the Fed beginning to monetize debt. Could you explain to our listeners what this is all about?
Well, the monetization process, the crux of it is, and I should explain the basics. The Treasury needs money. The Treasury has seen foreign investors just this last reporting month, which was January, come in with $148 billion less to buy Treasury and agency paper than they did either the month before or the year before. I forget which it is. And so the Treasury's had this problem of lukewarm response for about 4 months. Now, because we don't have a need to know, and because government lies about everything, it's my suspicion that what's been going on is secretly the Treasury's been selling the Fed already. And I've said this for 4 months.
And basically what you're saying is that they've been destroying the value of our currency. They've been creating money out of nothing and buying up the debt, because we have to rely upon other countries to buy our debt. We don't have enough assets. We don't have enough income ready to pay the expenses. So we have to borrow money. And as long as other countries are foolish enough to lend us the money, that's fine. But what happens when those countries stop buying our debt? What happens when we have no one to borrow from? Then what happens to America?
Well,
and that's
I
what's
think
happening.
That's in process. And so I think secretly they've been doing that. And the Fed, of course, creates the money out of thin air, sends it over to the Treasury, who goes and spends it, monetizing, creating inflation. And the Fed at the same time will lend the bonds out, or they will feed them into the market. And they admitted that's what they want to do now, but they didn't admit they've already been doing it.
But of course, this.
So the world was put on notice that the Fed was, you know, infinitely going to print money, is essentially what it is.
But that's what they did in Zimbabwe. That's what they did in the Weimar Republic. They tried to solve their problems just by printing money. That's a dangerous thing to do, isn't it, Bob? And we'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, it's a terrible thing to do because you rob the people who have assets, and you also create tremendous inflation, and that affects those people as well as others who are just gaining assets. And on top of it, with zero interest rates, you can't get anybody to save any money, and understandably so. I mean, the savings are now up to 5%, and they were -0.5% about a year ago. And I'm surprised they're that high. Evidently, people will get their bills paid are starting to save money because they're concerned. The only problem is they're saving it at the bank, and that's not the place to do it at. They should be in gold and silver, but they are saving. But the amounts of money that are going to be needed are going to be staggering. And the foreigners haven't shut down, but they've cut back. China's not going to be buying any more treasuries unless they sell agencies. And the Wall Street crowd, including PIMCO, has been buying the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac paper, probably by pre-arrangement, from the Chinese and others. And they're taking those funds and they're buying treasuries, but they're buying very short-term treasuries, anything up to 1 year. And that doesn't show much confidence in the future of the dollar because they're afraid to go long. You know, in the market, they won't go for the twos, the fives, the sevens, and the ten, as well as the 30-year paper. And so they're kind of on pins and needles. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, but when, what's his name, the guy that runs China? Wen Jiabo? Something like that. He started his career as a gold geologist, and I find that very interesting. So he must be pro-gold. And so maybe the Chinese will start buying more gold with their money. But the point is that the U.S. doesn't have enough money coming in. This year alone, between now and fiscal September 30th of this year, they're going to need over $2 trillion. So
we'll have a deficit.
So the question is how much are the foreigners going to supply? It sure as heck isn't going to be $2 trillion. Because they're already buried in about $2.8 trillion worth of paper. It's going to have to be monetized. So, you know, your parallel to Zimbabwe and even Weimar is there. I mean, we don't know how far this is going to go, but that's the only way they can go with it.
Well, of course, the president...
The situation's going to get worse because as time goes on and the dollar weakens, these nations, which on average have 64.5% of all of their foreign exchange in U.S. dollars are losing money every day.
Well, the thing is, of course, you know, with a $3.5 trillion budget, and then the stimulus bill, that was another $787 billion, and then they're talking about coming up with another $1 trillion to start buying up bad debts. I mean, you know, a trillion here, a trillion there, pretty soon you're talking about worthless money. And we're going to be back in just a moment with our good friend Bob Chapin right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're just talking with Bob about the $3.5 trillion budget The stimulus plan, now, you know, this is the largest budget ever been, and yet they have another $787 billion for stimulus. And then, of course, they're talking about coming up with another $1 trillion to start buying up debt. This money doesn't exist. It's just going to have to be created. And, of course, this is just a down payment on what they're going to have to come up with. And they're just going to have to create the money because the rest of the world is not going to continue lending it to us. And of course, we know what happens when countries do this. They go the way of the Weimar Republic or Zimbabwe. Why doesn't somebody tell Mr. Obama that you can't, you know, cut taxes and increase spending? I mean, that seems to be the most logical thing in the world, and yet that's exactly what he's talking about doing. Oh, he's going to raise the taxes on the very rich, but they're going to find another way to get around that. They're not going to be able to provide the funds for this massive spending program. In fact, I understand that the Congressional Budget Office said that they were going to have a deficit of about 9.6 trillion dollars over this next 10 years. That almost doubles our national debt over the next 10 years, from 10.5 trillion where it is now to over $20 trillion. You can't sustain that, can you?
No, of course not. And you know, they don't care. And Mr. Obama's taking orders. That's how he got the job. He's not especially intelligent. Maybe a little bit more than the last person that was in the White House. And he's there as a front man. And he teleprompts his way through life. And when a teleprompter's not there, he's got a real problem. And he's just a common street hustler. That's all he is.
Well,
so he doesn't make any decisions about anything.
But he's very, very convincing. He's very handsome. He's got a nice smile. He's very athletic looking. And he talks a good game, you know, about how we just have to get those people from Wall Street to understand what the real world is like. And yet, of course, he's surrounded by the Wall Street people. They were his largest financiers. Why doesn't anybody ever tell the American people that Goldman Sachs was the second largest contributor to the Obama campaign? And J.P. Morgan Chase wasn't far behind it. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, that means that he won't do anything that's going to harm these generous people. And that's why, you know, I contended for years, no lobbying and no campaign contributions. The government should give every senator $100,000 each to run his campaign and $75,000 for the congressman. And let them go at it, and let them go on issues, and that should all be sorted out a month before the election, not like it is now for 2 years.
All right, Bob. Well, certainly we understand now that the Premier of China has made some remarks about, you know, really being very, very concerned about their large investment over here.
Well, they should be. They're losing a tremendous amount of money, probably around 50 to 60% of their investments have gone up in smoke. And if anything, you know, if anybody would, if they would have said to somebody, please tell me where to invest where I can lose money, and they've done it. And I know it's not funny, but they really have not done very well.
But then, of course, we know that a lot of foreign investors have, you know, put their money into T-bills. They wanted something that was going to give them stability, and because they, so many people investing in T-bills, the value has gone up. So the people who've come over here from foreign countries and invested in T-bills have done very well, haven't they?
Well, they haven't done very well because the yields, you know, in under 10-year paper, I mean, the tens are paying 280, and inflation in the dollar has ranged from 9 to almost 14%. Now, there's no way they can make money doing that.
Well, how about the price of the T-bills has gone up, you know, on a short term over the last few months? I know it was off a little recently.
Yeah, but usually these people aren't trading the market. If they're looking for safety, they're looking for safety.
Right, and just then the dollar's been going up in value. I think it did fall a little recently, and I think it's going to fall
a little more. It fell substantially, Stan, because it was 89.5 on the USDX, and I don't know what the close is. I've got it right here today. If I can find it. Well, anyway, it's down around 85 or so.
Right. Well, I think it's going to fall a lot more. I think this is the thing. I think that people think that they don't know what to do with their money. People throughout the world are frightened, as well they might be. But I don't think the dollar is a very good place to invest your funds. At least that's what I think. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Bob Chapman as our guest today, and go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I haven't heard Kate Smith since a few weeks ago.
Well, I think that we're going to use that as our bumper music here because I think it's a beautiful song. Have you noticed we very, very seldom hear God Bless America sung anymore? In fact, I think that the establishment hates that song, and that's the reason it's not heard. I know other songs, very patriotic songs, that they've done everything they could to ban because they do not want our listeners to be patriotic and love their country. They want them to become good little international. Who go along with a plan for the New World Order and the New World Religion.
Well, I used to hear Kate Smith every noontime.
Well, if you...
I lived in the Eastern time zone.
Right. Well, if you listen to our program, and on our program, Bob, you'll continue to hear it more and more.
Well, that's good. I don't have the index in front of me. I do have it, though. And... But I just, I'm trying to, it's 83.42, down from 89. That's a substantial drop.
That is a substantial drop, and that's, the last, couple of weeks?
Yeah.
All right, fine. It's okay, certainly gold and silver.
It's the effect of these financings.
Right.
People are saying, you know, you got to be kidding me. In one-year paper, they want to give me maybe 0.60 of 1%. And I'm looking at inflation at 10. They're admitting to 2.5% inflation. I don't need that much safety. I'll go buy gold. I mean, that doesn't owe any money to anybody.
Well, of course, are people buying gold? That's the question. We saw the price move fairly well this last week. And yet, how did it do today?
Well, it closed down $4. And as soon as the market closed on the CRYMEX, that's an inside name for the COMEX. It closed down a total of $17.80, which is about $13.80 more. But you got to remember that a very small trade can create that. And our government deliberately goes into that market when it wants to and tries to drive gold down. I'll have a better feel for this at around midnight tonight when I take my prices down as to where this thing is going. I also take prices between 3:30 and 4 as well.
All right, well, you hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, Dr. Stan, Bob was just saying that gold was down after closing today. Obviously, the price is being manipulated, and there are growing shortages all throughout the world. But the last thing that the elitists want is for the people to have any means of protecting their wealth, because they intend to destroy it all. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464 if you'd like to talk to Bob. But before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster and so they can read it every week as I do and so many of our listeners do.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Excuse me. And it usually runs around 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy for those who are not on the Internet, and that is delivered out by U.S. mail twice a month. If you would like to get a free introductory copy, you can go to one of three places. Our site, which is the International Forecaster, forecaster.com. The International Forecaster.com. Or you can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. That's Bob, B-O-B, I-N-T, F-O-R-E, C-A-S-T-E-R, .com. Or you can call toll-free, 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Gilroy. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Robert, how are you today?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. I just want to report to you that I went over to Elliott's coin shop a few weeks ago
right. And
tried to buy some gold coins and could not do it. They would not sell me any.
Well, if you need other places, we have a couple of other people that do sell. You could call that telephone number that Bob put up, or you can call Sydney to Ted Anderson here, and I know you'll be able to buy gold coins. But apparently there is somewhat of a shortage. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, there has been for almost a year now, and previously most of the buying was coming out of Europe and Asia, particularly Europe, which are historically have not been, big gold coin, silver coin buyers. And now, in the last, I would say, 6 months, the buying in the United States has really increased. And so there has been a great many people who have been buying. The point of this whole matter is that there is a shortage. It's a deliberate shortage, I think. Mints are not minting. The U.S. Mint has said, no, we're not going to mint any more coins because we can't get the blanks that they need to cut the coins. They have another name for it. I forget what it is. And that's adding to the problem. And the important point here is I've talked to people in that industry, and they figure only about 1.5% of Americans are in gold and silver coins. Can you imagine what those numbers would be like, which is 15%? So this is where this is headed. Gold owes nobody anything. Every fiat currency in the world owes everybody everything that holds that currency, and most of them have nothing behind it. Governments are running naked, which is governments are running in debt, and that's just the way it is. And in these perilous times, people want to have something solid, so they're buying coins.
Well, Robert, what did they tell you when you went over to the coin store?
They said there was no coins available for sale. Elliot wasn't the only one I went to. I went to another coin dealer, and they had no coins available for sale. And the premiums, even if they had it, the premiums were something like $100 per coin. Now, I happen to know that this bailout will not work, Dr. Stan, and the reason why it won't work, what the Treasury and what the banks are not talking about today, is that the cash is draining out of bank accounts, and they can't figure out where it's going. And I thought it would go to coins, but apparently if coins are not available for sale, then it can't go there either. Maybe they're not making coins available for sale because they don't want people converting cash to coins.
I think that's a very good thought. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
The gentleman is absolutely correct.
Okay, I think Bob...
And I heard from one of my spies today in London, and he got this from a politician in London, that behind the scenes, because of this run in gold and silver coins that and bullion as well. The government had been talking secretly behind the scenes about limiting people as to how many coins they could own. So this is something new. No one has published this. I get it through one of my sources. The source is really, really good.
Okay, well, that's rather frightening, but we're living in frightening times. Robert, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Yes, I just have one thing to conclude. The reason why the bailouts won't work is that they can print all the money they want, but the American people, because there is a lack of confidence, it's withdrawing their money from circulation. They do it two ways. They can convert dollars to other things, you know, old muscle cars or coins, or they can simply quit spending.
Right.
And I think the savings rates are going up, and that means that all these corporations are going to feel something very bitter coming on them in the next few months. And printing money will not resolve this problem. We have a problem of confidence.
You're absolutely right, and with good reason. The people who are in charge hate America. Their loyalty is a one-world government, and I really believe they're going to destroy this nation. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much, Robert.
All right.
Let's go to L.A. Samples calling us from Dallas. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Just a couple of questions for Mr. Chapman.
All right, before you do, I'll put the telephone number out. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And what are your questions?
I'm a relatively new subscriber to International Forecaster, but I've been listening a long time. Anyhow, my questions are, Bob, I live in the Dallas area, on the suburbs here, of about 50,000 people in the suburbs, and there's a main street that goes through here, and in a four-mile-long strip here, there are 12 banks, freestanding banks, and I'd say about 9 of them are new. Can you tell me what's up with that? Why are they? And these banks haven't—they're about a year old, probably about a year old. Can you tell me why they're building so many banks, and are they doing that in other parts of the country? Have you heard anything like that?
I haven't. I've seen a few, and I that kind of conclusion came to me that, why would they be doing that? And I don't really know. Perhaps these newer banks see an opportunity of absorbing clientele from banks that have gotten into trouble. Banking is a very lucrative business normally, when you can, lend 8 or 40 to 1 of what you have. That's pretty good as long as you don't get caught and do the wrong thing like they did with the real estate business. But I just don't know. I can't answer that.
A lot of them are the major banks like Chase and those people like that. I just wondered. Kind of interesting. I mean, there's one intersection where there's three banks at that intersection.
Right. Well, you remember somebody once asked Willie Sutton, the actor Sutton, the famed bank robber, why do you rob banks? And he says, because that's where the money is. And maybe that's why they're building them. That's where the money is. The banking is the greatest fraud of all time. A fractional reserve banking. Responsible banking, you need responsible banking. We do not have responsible banking in the United States today. And they're the ones who precipitated the crisis, but I think they did it intentionally. The small banks are going to pay a terrible price for what this very small group of elitists have done to us. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go, L.A.?
Just one more quick question.
Right.
I hear you saying, along with others, and I believe it, that we're going to go through a time of hyperinflation and then deflation. And can you just real simply tell me why we're going to have hyperinflation? If I understand it, money has to be lent, and then money has to be spent.
Well, Bob, you want to tackle that, or shall I tackle that? You want you to go ahead
that.
And answer. You
I got a sore throat today. Go ahead.
Well, the reason we have to have hyperinflation is because inflation is not rising prices. Inflation is an increase in the money supply. And the prices rise after that. Now, of course, they've been producing a tremendous amount of money, just churning money out. The reason we have not seen the inflation yet is because, of course, they've just destroyed the value of so much wealth. Actually, they estimate that worldwide they've destroyed about $60 trillion here since this whole house of cards came tumbling down. So even though they've turned out a lot of money, why we haven't seen the inflationary results yet. But down the line, unless they can get rid of all of this money and do it very quickly, why that increase in the money will lead to higher prices. You're already seeing the price of oil going up a little bit. But right now, of course, we're not seeing hyperinflation, but I believe it's just a matter of time. And whether it'll be 3 months, 6 months, 2 or 3 years, short of, divine intervention, I think we're going to see hyperinflation in this country, and that will destroy the value of everything people have had, and it's going to create terrible devastation and really impoverish so many of our people. But you cannot just indiscriminately increase the money supply, which is what we're doing. I mean, when you're talking over the next 10 years of having almost a $10 trillion deficit on top of the deficit we have now, remember it took 200 years from 1789 until 1980 to create a deficit, a federal deficit of $1 trillion. Now we are going to have a $2 trillion deficit or probably in 1 year. So we've just started on this cycle, and I don't see anything that's going to end it other than a total collapse and devastation. It's not a very good message, but unfortunately, until the American people understand they've been defrauded, there is a ruling elite who have no loyalty to America but to this internationalist dream. Until they understand that, nothing is going to change until they're willing to get involved and help us educate the remainder of the people. I think people are going to wake up. I just hope it's not going to be far too late. Anything, L.A., before we let you go?
For the money to inflate, it has to be out there in circulation, right?
Right. They have to create new money, and this is what they're in the process of doing. They call it monetization.
Yeah. Okay.
And Bob, if you disagree with me, don't be afraid to speak up. I know you're not.
I always pay attention to my elders.
All right. Okay, anything else?
Thank you very much. No,
God bless. Bye-bye. And so I think we're living in very, very perilous times, and I think people are going to have to protect themselves and get out of debt and then start, getting out of dollars, because, of course, the dollar will be destroyed if we do go into this hyperinflationary cycle. And I'm not a financial advisor. I don't purport to be. But I am a minor historian, and I've been watching very closely what our State Department and Henry Kissinger have done in Zimbabwe. And I think it foreshadows what they're going to be doing here in America. I just hope and pray I'm wrong. Well, Bob, what are some of the other major issues you'd like to talk about today?
Well, I think the economic situation in Europe is bad. Probably on the same plane that it is in the United States, but Europe is an exporting group. We don't export as much as they do. And so at the moment, we may be just a little bit better off. Their banks are buried as well. And Eastern Europe is in serious trouble, and Western Europe says, we're not going to come up with the money to do all that stuff and fix that up. And of course they have to, otherwise the system will come down. But England is really the basket case along with Ireland. And the major bank in Ireland's gone under, and several banks have been nationalized in England, and in England they began monetizing last week, and they will continue to do so. Unemployment's going crazy again, and so I see that Europe's problems are going to be every bit as great overall as America's problems. So I don't know that the dollar might not be able to go too deep against other currencies. Certainly, you go back to 71.16 on the USDX from where it's at right now pretty easily. But the thing, the barometer you have to look at, and the thing that's so very, very important is the... I lost my train of thought. I was thinking of something else. Is gold. Gold and its relationship to other currencies. For 5 years now, gold has appreciated against every currency in the world to a varying degrees. And the USDX may be important at this point in time, but the price of gold versus the major currencies is really where it's at. And I think there are a small group of people throughout the world, maybe less than 5%, are buying gold and silver but both hands. I mean, every person I talk to, we have subscribers all over the world, say in Frankfurt, I can't find anybody with any coins. Mexico City, I can't find anybody with any coins. In Uruguay, that's a banking center, there's no coins. So somebody got to be buying them.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that people have to understand that some people throughout the world are beginning to understand what's going on. They're destroying the value of our paper currency, and you need to study and understand our monetary system, because those who understand will survive, and I fear that those who don't, well, many of them, of course, will simply become impoverished. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, we're having a rally in the market. It's gone from approximately 6,600, and today it added 500 points on some of the worst economic news in history. It closed at 7,776 on the Dow, and I think that rally should be close to over within 200 points, which we predicted it could rally on a dead cat bounce up through from 66 to 78 or 8,000. And this time when it turns down, it'll go right through 66 like it wasn't there. And this was the summer rally as I see it. And so the next step is downward. Next step in gold is upward. You know, as long as you have this tremendous physical offtake, the futures prices can't continue to non-perform the way that they are. And sooner or later, it's going to catch up. You know, I noticed gold today trading visibly in the access market, down 1780 on the day the last time I saw it in access. Several of the better quality stocks are up and in gold and silver. And the HUI closed up 2.29 in the day. So what the gold shares are telling you is that we don't believe this. We think gold's going higher. And they've done that again recently. Historically, they've done that. And I think we're looking forward to much higher prices. And Union Bank Suisse is talking $2,500 gold. Citigroup and Morgan have talked about 2,000 or more for gold. So I think the future for gold is a very strong and a very bright one.
What about the future for silver? What do you think will happen there?
Well, it'll go along with it as long as we're having inflation. And the same with commodities in general. But I think that there's going to be a catch-up coming here. And the minute inflation stops, for real, and that'll be down the line here a year or two, then, you know, you only want silver for bartering purposes.
All right, fine. Well, I guess it's been Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, and, of course, we'll be interviewing Bob again this evening on our evening program. Bob, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, and look forward to talking to you a little later.
Okay, and thank you, Stan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Bob Chapin, and we do hope you enjoy our program every Monday afternoon with Bob. We'll be interviewing him again this evening. And, of course, we are in very troubled times. We have a great book. We've carried it for some years. It's called The Coming Battle. It was written in 1889 by Mr. Wahlberg, who was talking about how the banks had repeatedly raped and pillaged the population, you know, in the preceding years. This is 1889. And then, of course, we have another book called The Money Creators. That's The Money Creators. It was written in 1935, showing exactly how the major banks, working in concert with the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned banking system, as all central banks throughout the world are privately owned, how the banks had created the Great Depression in 1935. This book was actively suppressed for some time. Of course, we carry Professor Quigley's book that is very good on banking. Of course, that book was initially suppressed too, and it was only because a pirate reproduced the book that is available today. But Tragedy and Hope is a wonderful source of information on international finance. And then, of course, we have my talk on the financial tsunami, talk we gave about 3 years ago. And with the syllabus, you really need to have the information to understand all these terms that they use so glibly, M1, M2, M3, but they intentionally try to confuse you. The TARP funds, the TALF funds, the FSAB, and most people sort of shrug. I don't understand. You're not supposed to understand, ladies and gentlemen. They want to make it intentionally confusing for you. Well, I think that if you get the material we have, the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the book Fiat Money Inflation in France, along with The Money Creators and The Coming Battle, written in 1889, why, you will be far more knowledgeable than most experts on this. We have two pamphlets we prepared. One is The History of Money. The other is called The Financial Meltdown. These are compilations of our newsletters. A great deal of excellent information there. And then, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You must understand what's going on. And I don't know any better way than to get our material, go through it, understand that there is a movement to destroy our currency. But you cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand that the financial system is controlled by people involved in the occult. How can I make that statement? Why, because the occultists say that. And certainly we have a little pamphlet. We'll make it available if you've got anything else. Just ask for the working of the spiritual hierarchy. The working of the spiritual hierarchy, will send it along. It's put out by the Lucis Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. And if you doubt that, go up and look at their website, lucistrust.org. LucisTrust.org, or you can use a search engine to put in Lucis Trust Lucifer, and they'll take you to and admit that at one time the organization was called the Lucifer Publishing House. And until you understand the nature of the spiritual battle, so much of what's going on really doesn't make sense. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret, and then the other talk on the secret knowledge, but the forbidden secret comes with the syllabus that will really help you better to understand so much of what our politicians say. Because they very often will speak in esoteric language and use esoteric phrases. That is, phrases that are written so that only the elite will understand, the chosen ones. And you can be one of the chosen ones. I don't want you to become a chosen one, but you want to understand how they think. Certainly you want to see our DVD is put out by our good friend Chris Pinto, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, The Eye of the Phoenix. Chris Pinto's, these are ones that we put out, The Atlantis Connection and The Emergence, The Coming of the New World Ruler, that's Constance Cumby. My four interviews with her are called Aquarian Conspiracy. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. The Obama administration is asking private investors to help buy up $1 trillion of bad assets from the nation's banks. President Obama calls it one more critical element in his multi-pronged effort to revive the economy and says he's confident it will work.